Hare Krishna, our very great fortune once again to hear His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj Ji in Shridham Mayapur being taught in Bhakti Shastri course. This is Bhagavad Gita from chapter 2nd and this is dated 20th of November 2013. Hare Krishna.
We have a couple minutes. Done.
Are we ready to go again?
Okay.
Karpanya dosho pratashabhava prichchami tam dharma samudhacheta yatstrayasyan nishchitam bruhitanme shishyasteham sharimam. Now comes a significant change. Arjuna admits that he's confused. Karpanya dosha means the fault of being miserly. Karpanya, Kripana, Prabhupada explains, a person who doesn't know the value of life described as Karpanya. Karpanya dosho upahata shabhava prichchamitam dharma samudacheta. My heart is bewildered, my mind is bewildered about what is actually my duty. Dharma samudha. I'm completely confused, bewildered. Yat shreyasyan nishchitam ruhitanme. So please tell me, nishchita. Nishchit means definitely, conclusively. Prabhupada says in the word for word, confidently, surely. Nishchitam, bruhitam me, you tell me. I'm bewildered, I can't figure it out. Shishyasteyam sharimam tam prapanna. Now I accept you as my spiritual master. I take the role of shishya. Shishya means one who agrees to be disciplined by the spiritual master. We talked in our pronunciation discussion about shastra and shastra. They both come from the same root word, shasthatu. Shast means discipline. Shastra. So the shastra, the Vedic literature, gives us rules to follow, discipline. And if you don't follow the shastra, then there's shastra. Then we take up weapons, and we have to exert force, go to jail, or die, or whatever the case may be. And the same root, shastra, shishya, the person who's disciplined, who voluntarily agrees to be disciplined by the spiritual master, is called shishya. So I was speaking very confidently, or I was speaking according to my own thinking, but the result is I'm bewildered. The conclusion is that I don't know what to do. And Srila Prabhupada very nicely explains that the is it here or in the report? That the ways of material existence are set up in such a way that it causes perplexity. Where's that? Yeah, here it is. The world situation is like a forest fire. It's set up in such a way that the perplexities of life automatically appear without wanting such confusion. So this is the person in need of a spiritual master. The person is perplexed. What should I do? Why am I suffering? Why this bewildering set of choices, this bewildering situation? Why this? Why so much confusion? Why so much perplexity? Why such apparent meaninglessness in my life? Or absurdity in the sense of having to do something which makes no sense. So to answer these questions, now he's turning to Krishna in a different way and saying, now I accept the role of your disciple. We were speaking as friends, but now I'm taking a different position. You please tell me what to do.
Krishna and Arjuna have known each other almost in birth, and they went to school together, they lived together, they slept in the same room together, they vacationed together. None of this behavior was ever evident in Arjuna before, but this is a setup by Krishna. So, in the reality of the situation, Arjuna must be in incredible distress, all of a sudden being like this, having never exhibited this before at all, and I'm wondering how it happened.
He's been in trouble before. They were exiled. Their wife was insulted. But now it's come to this. So it's an extreme situation. On the one side, everything has led to this, where we've been, as they say, anyway, I don't want to just use that, but we've been waiting for this day when we're going to finally get even with these people who've usurped our kingdom, insulted our wife, tried to set our house on fire, tried to poison us. In so many ways they've performed such heinous activities. We've promised Draupadi that we'll avenge her honor. So now it's come to that. Now Arjuna has vowed to fight. And now on the other side, Drona is there, Bhishma is there. There's no, what will we enjoy? What happiness will there be? Everything seems to be the opposite of what I thought. I thought this would be such a great day, but now it seems it's the worst day of my life. So it's not just a superficial, I don't think I like it here, Krishna. It's a deep existential crisis. Prabhupada said that a person in such a circumstance asks himself, why am I here? Why am I here? Why am I living? It would be better to die than to have to fight. So it's a deep existential crisis. It's the kind of situation in which people commit suicide, you know, rather than have to face whatever it is. They end their life. Whether it is better to...
If Arjuna was friends with Krishna, what actually caused him to see Krishna as a teacher?
Krishna's mercy, for one thing. What causes Arjuna now to see Krishna as a teacher? It's by Krishna's mercy. Krishna's put him in confusion, and Krishna's also given him some direction from within the heart. And the Pandavas are in an unusual position. They forget that Krishna is God, but sometimes they remember that Krishna is God. Just like Kunti Devi, you're my nephew, but you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Vrindavan, this doesn't happen. Krishna is just that troublemaker. Or whatever they want to say about him. But they never think that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes when he's meeting with his friends playing in the forest, sometimes they play and some child becomes the king, some other children become the subject. Sometimes Krishna plays as God. But but no one takes it seriously. It's just a game. So the But in Dwarka and Hastinapur, Yoga Maya acts in such a way that sometimes they remember that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or here at least, Arjuna is seeing that Krishna is more than just your ordinary buddy. Krishna's acted as their friend, as their advisor. In so many circumstances, Krishna was recognized as being very intelligent, being the right source of advice. They used to depend on Krishna in so many ways. So there was this sort of mixed mixture of seeing and not seeing Krishna's greatness. When Yoga Maya acts in a certain way, Arjuna can order Krishna, pull the chariot up between the armies. And at other times, Krishna, only you can solve my question.
Prabhupada, the previous word you mentioned, Arjuna saying, it would be very difficult to live in their absence, like when they are killed. But as you just mentioned, they went through so many difficulties and they even, you know, all to kill them.
Now Arjuna is having, therefore it's called pretty adorable young. On the one side, he should be ready to wipe him out. But now he's thinking, oh, how can I kill them? And Prabhupada gives the explanation that when you have something to enjoy, you want to show off to your friends. You know, I got a new iPad, I got a new iPhone, I got a new something. But now Arjuna is thinking that if I win the kingdom, who will there be to show it off to? Everybody will be gone. That explanation is there. Such cost. It'll be what they call a hollow victory. You know, I'll win the kingdom and all my relatives will be dead. So how can I... What happiness will there be in that? Sometimes that may happen, that we're really ready to take strong action, but then we doubt. Well, what will happen to his family? What will happen to his... But this is not the time. When you're vishamay, right in the middle of the thing, you're starting to think about, well, what about their wives? What about their, you know, not the time for that. Time to fight. Loud, loud.
Picking up on the underlying mood of the verse, it seems as though ability to hear is very much a function of the condition of heart. Because Arjuna seems to have reached, how should I put it, like, a state of poverty of heart.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. When everything's going great, sometimes it's really hard for people to hear. That's mentioned in the story of King Chitraketu, yes. King Chitraketu, he had a son, finally, he had so many wives, then he had a son, and everything's so great, and he couldn't really hear what the sages were telling him. Well, this is going to be a mixed bag here, happiness and distress. Couldn't hear that. All he could think about was, have a son. And then when his son died, then he could take instruction. Because he was smashed. So that's, we see that when people are on top of the world, they can't hear. So it's sometimes Krishna's mercy that he'll take everything away. Then the person starts asking, what is the meaning of my life? What is the use of my life? Why has this happened to me? All it becomes, it starts questioning. Then you can approach it. So that happened with Chitraketu, Narada, and Who was it? Another sage?
Narad Muni.
Was it Parvat Muni? No.
Angira.
Narad Muni and Angira Muni, they approached Chitraketu after the death of the soul. Then they could instruct him. Sometimes we see that with our preaching also. Somebody comes, he's a little interested, you preach to him, you sell him a book, and or you meet somebody in the street, sell him a book, thank you very much. How much is it? Well, okay, I guess so. And it's like, you know. But then something happens in his life, where's that book? He opens it up, and now it's like he's really searching those pages to see if it can answer his question. So sometimes someone comes and Krishna consciousness doesn't quite, you know, it's nice, but it doesn't have urgency, it doesn't click. But then something happens in your life and it becomes crucial to understand Krishna. Okay. Nahi prapashyami mamapanu jyad yachchokam uchchoshanam indriyanam avakibhumavasapatnam riddham rajam suranam apichari patyam. I can't find a way to solve this problem. That's the conclusion. Nahi prapashyami, I don't see a way to drive away this grief. Even if I won the kingdom, nothing would be. Any question here? Yes?
When can we call ourselves Vaishnava?
Can we call ourselves Vaishnavas?
Yes.
We can, if we want to be a little, what's the word?
Liberal.
Liberal, yeah. Or at least we're trying to be Vaishnavas. Something else? Yes?
Yes, it says we have heard that a scholarly Brahmana expert in the subject of that knowledge is hunted to become a spiritual master without being a Vaishnava. But a person born in a family of lower caste can become a spiritual master if he is a Vaishnava, or aka Krishna conscious. So does it mean that for a person who is born in lower family, he's either more faster colors of Vaishnava?
Generally, we were talking earlier about family tradition. So, in the family tradition, don't speak back to your elders, don't eat with your left hand, take your bath nicely. So many things are taught in family tradition. So, generally in the Brahminical families, they learn how to live a Brahminical way of life. So, they have an advantage. Just like Prabhupada gives the example, if you're born in the family of a high court judge, that's an advantage. You don't have to go to law school. You sit at the dinner table and you hear about Johnson versus Huntington and the intricacies of the case. And by the time you're seven, you've heard more case law than most law students. But you're not a lawyer. Still you have to go to school, still you have to take the test, still you have to pass the exam. But it's an advantage. But you can also become a drug addict, or you can become a bum. It's not guaranteed that because you're in that family, you'll be a high court judge also. And on the other hand, someone may be born in a low family, or you know, a son of a truck driver or something, and he turns out to be a brilliant student, gets a scholarship, goes to Yale Law School, graduates at the top of his class, gets appointed to high court bench. So it's open to everyone. And still, there's an advantage that some people start out with. So here, Shat Karma Nipano Vipro Mantra Tantra Visharada. There may be someone who's a Brahmin, maybe by birth, maybe by training. So Shat Karma Nipano Vipro. He knows all the things that a Brahmin should do. He knows the mantras. Om and he knows all the things, you know. All the rituals and all the mantras. Visharada, he's expert in all these things. He knows the right time, and he knows the right place, and he knows the right mantra, and he knows the right ritual, and the right gesture, and the right mudra, and the right all of these things. But he's not a Vaishnav. Guru or Nasyat? Yeah, he can't be a guru. Doesn't matter how expert he is. Doesn't matter that he's born in a Brahmin family. Doesn't matter how many mantras he knows. Disqualified. Vaishnava Swapachoguru. And even if he's born in the family of dog eaters, if he's a Vaishnav, then he's qualified. It's like Advaita Charya, there's a ritual. We were talking about the rituals for the departed forefathers. So there's a ritual for that. And as part of the ritual, you should first offer prasadam to a very high-class Brahmin. Because the Brahmins are the representatives of the Lord. So on behalf of the Lord, the Brahmin will accept the food. So Advaita Charya, from the Panchatattva, he was performing that ritual. And who does he select as the Brahmin? Haridas Thakur. Who is Haridas Thakur? He's born in a Muslim family. A Muslim family means that they'll be meat eaters, probably cow killers, not following the Vedic principles. And Advaitacharya selects him to be the person to receive the first offering of prasada. Then Haridas Thakur said, "This is, you're coming from a high class aristocratic Brahmin family, this is just going to be a joke. Everybody's going to laugh at you." Advaitacharya said, "Let him laugh. I'm following the Vedic principles." And he quoted this sloka, this sloka, this sloka, this sloka. "By feeding you, I'm feeding thousands of the best Brahmins because you're super Vaishnav." That's the real qualification. Brahmana? Thread. Yes. What about it? Is the Brahmin thread important? No, finally. Thread or no thread, that's not what makes the Brahmin. It's Krishna consciousness. Just like Jagpada. He may have a thread, he may not have a thread, but he's a Paramahansa Vaishnava. So it doesn't, the thread now, as part of the standard practice, we wear the thread, we do this, we do that, but that's not finally the thing. Oh, he doesn't have a thread. Oh, he's got a nice thread. You know, there's a lot of people go out and they They, you know, they're Brahmins. How do you know? They've got a thread. Where'd they get the thread? For, you know, 3 paisa in the market. Prabhupada saw there was a man who had a, he's a Brahmin, he's wearing a thread and he's pulling a cart. Tela, it's like a, you see in Calcutta these people carrying like a goods cart, you know, and like a donkey. And his friend is addressing him, Panditji, you know, Mr. Brahmin. What kind of Brahmin? You're doing the work of a dog. Maybe you're wearing a thread. The thread's not the thing. Vaishnava, that he's a Vaishnava, that's the thing. Yes?
Is there an advantage, a spiritual advantage, between a Vaishnava who is intelligent and a Vaishnava who is less intelligent?
Every Vaishnava is intelligent. Vaishnava means intelligent. If he weren't intelligent, he wouldn't be a Vaishnava.
That's the same intelligence. I mean, someone like
that depends. If you want to learn all the intricacies of Vedanta Sutra, it's not intelligent, it's scholarly. Just like that cobbler who was sitting under the tree, he was intelligent. He wasn't scholarly, but he was very intelligent. He could understand that the Lord's put so many trees into every banyan seed, so he could do anything. So that's intelligent. Or we discussed the other day, the Brahmin who couldn't even read. So he wasn't scholarly, but he was intelligent. So for Krishna consciousness, you can approach any kind of Vaishnava. But if you want to learn, you know, the intricacies of scholarly, some scholarly issue, then you approach a scholarly Vaishnava. If you want to learn about deity worship, then you approach an expert deity worship Vaishnava. If you want to learn how to play mridanga, you approach a Vaishnava who is expert in playing mridanga, and so on. But all the Vaishnavas are intelligent.
In terms of like the rasa in the spiritual world, in terms of their rasa in the spiritual world, are they all equal or equally?
Everyone's got his relationship with Krishna. Rasa is not like Krishna says, "Oh, you're a scholar. You can be a gopi." Nothing to do with that. Has nothing to do with these external things. In any case, our position is not what's my rus, it's what am I doing here in this material world. Arjuna is not approaching Krishna. My dear Krishna, I don't know what to do. What's my rus? But you find ISKCON devotees, they don't know how to keep their pants on and they want to know what rust they have. Okay. There's a significant editorial thing we can look at here. It's in the end of text 8. Well, toward the end of text 8. In the original edition, blank. What has to happen? Okay, now we're in action. Blank or no blank? Something may happen. Takes a moment. It's coming. Oh yeah, okay, good. In Mayapur, even the projectors are intelligent. Okay. In this first edition it says they are seeking peace in different ways, but they can achieve real happiness only if they consult Krishna or the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, which constitute the science of Krishna, or the bona fide representative of Krishna, the man in Krishna consciousness. So there's two ways to achieve real happiness: consulting Krishna or the scriptures, or consulting the bona fide spiritual master. That's the first edition. And the second edition says they can achieve real happiness only if they consult Krishna or Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam through the bona fide representative of Krishna. It's not an either-or proposition. Read the books or approach a guru. Read the books through the guru. Very different. So then they'll say, oh, they're changing the philosophy. But if you look at what Prabhupada originally wrote with his two lotus fingers, they can achieve real happiness if they prefer to consult Krishna or the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, which are science of Krishna, from the bona fide representative of Krishna. Not either or. Read the scriptures or approach a guru. Read the scriptures through the guru. Hear the scriptures from the guru. So that's what Prabhupada wrote, and that's what the second edition says. But you can always take the first edition, and then you have a choice. Lauta.
Those who made the first edition, didn't they make that edition?
Yep.
Then why they make those mistakes?
Everyone makes mistakes. Their error is human. They did a great job, but they made some mistakes. Yes?
Why do you think these weren't published like they are in manuscripts?
Why were they not published?
Like in manuscripts.
Published?
Why wasn't it published
as manuscripts? Because Prabhupada wanted it edited. Just like, which are science of Krishna? That's not English. You have to say, which are the science of Krishna? Or, as it appears, which constitute the science of Krishna. So there's editing needed. Prabhupada's English was not first, you know, his English is a second language, and he wanted editing. So he got a professor of literature and who edited the book and did a very good job. But it was early in the game, 1956, 1967, he made some mistakes. But Prabhupada didn't say, just take the manuscript and photograph it and put it on the page.
Not to say, Prabhupada didn't check all
these
texts
again? No. Okay. Clear? Any question about that? See the many wonderful things that you've never seen before.
This is
on DBT edit in the annotated scan. Okay. Sanjay Uvacha, text 9. Sanjay comes back. Evam uktva rishikesham guda kesha parantapaha nayotsya iti govindam uktva tushnin gubhuvaha. So, after Arjuna says, now I don't know what to do, I surrender, I accept you as my spiritual master, then he says, I won't fight. And then he falls silent. Tamuvacha Rishikesha Prahasan Niva Bharata Senayor Upayor Madhye Vishidantam idam vachaha. So now Krishna, as Prabhupada points out, takes the role of spiritual master. Before he was a friend, and as a friend he's saying, what is this rubbish? How have you become so impotent? But now it's graduated from friendly talks to a discourse between the disciple and the spiritual master, and Krishna is now ready to assume that role. Prahasan iva bharata. Prahasan means smiling, and iva means kind of, as if, how probably like that. Iva, prahasan iva. Not smiling, but kind of smiling. Actually, those who've seen Mahabharata, that actor does a pretty good job. Nitin Bhardwaj. Not bad. He's kind of smiling, but not smiling. He does it, I thought he does a good job. It's not smiling, but it's almost smiling. Kind of a suppressed smile or a kind of a smile. And one of the acharyas comments that Krishna just would have laughed at it, but that would have been inappropriate under the circumstances. Who comments that way? One of the acharyas comments that, yeah, thank you, that he would have just laughed out loud at him, but that would have been too much. Arjuna, after all, was lamenting. So Krishna suppresses the smile, and, as if smiling, still a hint of a smile.
Why does the translation say that almost smiling, if it's smiling?
Just
says smiling.
Just says smiling.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe Prabhupada did it that way, or maybe the editors did. I would have to look it up. Mm-hmm. But it's a smile,
okay.
But it's kind of a smile. It's the hint of a smile. It's a
nectar of devotion, there is
a list of types. Yeah, there's outright hilarious laughter, and at the other end of the spectrum, there's this prahasaniva, like a smile. Prabhupada explained one time that Arjuna is lamenting because he's in a nightmare. I mean, this is a nightmare situation. This is your worst nightmare, that you're a soldier, and now everybody that you love and respect is on the other side, and you've got to shoot him and kill him. That's like your worst nightmare. And that's the nightmare in which Arjuna finds himself. But what is a nightmare? A nightmare is a situation that doesn't really exist. A nightmare is a situation that doesn't exist. You're being eaten by a tiger, or you're being chased by a ghost, you're whatever it is. There's no real tiger, there's no real ghost. But the child wakes up crying. And the parents rush into the room and they see the child. And the parents are smiling. That's all right, that's all right. There's no tiger, there's no tiger. No, this is... So the child is crying because he's in a nightmare. But the parents aren't crying because they're awake and they know that the child is having a nightmare, that's all. So they don't just want to laugh at the child, oh, stupid kid having a nightmare. But because they know what it is, they're not in distress, they're not troubled, they're not bewildered. They know that it's a nightmare, and they gently say to the child, that's all right, that's all right, there's no tiger. So Krishna's like that. Arjuna is sleeping in darkness of Maya, and Krishna's fully awake. Yes.
Very mild in bringing the message forth.
You have to see what works. generally, but if somebody says to you, you know, yeah, I'm really interested in this book because I just lost my dad and my sister's was just diagnosed with cancer, and he said, really? That may not quite work. So you may want to follow along there and say something a little gentler than, well, that's the funniest thing I ever heard in my life. But sometimes strong speaking is also warranted. There was an incident kind of in Prabhupada's last month in Vrindavan. There was a girl who came, daughter of a devotee, came to Vrindavan. Young girl, I don't know, 12 or 14 or something. Maybe, anyway, young girl. And she'd been diagnosed with some terminal disease. And she's going to die. And you might think that Prabhupada would say some comforting words. Prabhupada was completely serious with her. Know that you're going to die, you should be Krishna conscious. No, not at all. It's not so bad, and you know, don't worry. The usual platitudes and patting on the shoulder. Prabhupada just death is a serious thing, and now you're headed there, it's time for you to be very serious in Krishna consciousness. So you have to, by experience, you'll judge what to say when, and Krishna will help you. But our job, we don't get paid extra for pussyfooting. You know what pussyfooting is? Familiar with the term? Pussyfooting means like a kitten, you know, it's very gently, you hardly feel the footstep of the little kitten on the ground. So, you know, tread very lightly, don't make anybody upset by saying anything they wouldn't want to hear. So that's, we don't get paid extra for that. Our job is to speak the truth. And it's a Vedic injunction that one should try to speak palatably, try to speak in such a way that goes over well, but our job finally is to say the thing as it is. Prabhupada said one time, strong language is sometimes needed to awaken a sleeping man. Okay. Now Krishna begins his instruction. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is speaking, and Prabhupada reminds us of that. Ashochang and Vashochas Twam Pragya Varam Shapashase Gatasuna Gatasuns Cha Nanu Shochanti Pandita. Prabhupada explains very nicely that the Lord at once took the teacher's position and told the student indirectly that you're a fool. Doesn't exactly call him a fool, but he just says that you're speaking like a learned person, but no learned person would speak like you. That means that you're speaking like a fool. You're speaking learned words, but anvashochan, ashochan, you're lamenting for something unworthy of lamentation. That means you're a fool. Katasuna katasunscha nanushochanti pandita. The learned person laments neither for the living nor for the dead. And the Lord will explain that in the coming verses, that you're speaking on the basis of the body. Your whole lamentation is based on the body and bodily relationships. And a learned person doesn't see in terms of the body. learned person sees in terms of the soul. You're speaking all these high words, high thoughts, high principles. But your basic principle is this body. As if the body were the self. And that's ignorance. You've built up this tower of words, tower of principles, this noble position, and it's all built on a foundation of ignorance, or the very opposite of knowledge. Mistaking what's temporary for what's substantial. Mistaking what's unreal for what's real. On that, you've built your whole thing. You've got a big column of numbers there, very impressive, and the first calculation is 2 plus 2 equals 7. So what will happen with the rest of it? Yes?
Is there a difference between meditation and sadness? And I ask this because Srila Prabhupada, when some of his disciples left their bodies, he did show some sadness that they had left. He wrote certain letters, and he was wondering if Srila Prabhupada was sad about
and leaving their body. Sadness and lamentation, well, you know, just in terms of the word, yeah. Mm-hmm. Something may be sad, but you don't lament over it because you know that this is the situation. Mm-hmm. And even sadness, for the devotee, it's described that when Haridas Thakur left, there was sadness mixed with joy. When Bhishma Dev left, there was sadness mixed with joy. There was sadness because they would no longer have the association of that great soul. And there was joy because they'd gone back to Godhead. So a person with knowledge sees in terms of the soul. It's sad that we'll no longer have his association. But it's wonderful that he's gone back to Krishna. Okay. Future reference, all phones that ring during the class get donated to BBT Africa. Okay, we're at 6:30, and therefore we can end here, and we'll see you tomorrow. Thank you all very much. Oh, and we have some Mahaprasadam for you on the way out from Krishna Balaram, little Krishna Balaram Shilas who are here, and you can see Radhe on your way.